This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can listen to us on Pacifica radio stations and watch our show on Free Speech TV. The fight between water protectors and oil pipeline interests in North Dakota continues unabated, even after threats made by the Morton County Sheriff's Department to block supplies to the encampment. After seeing the horrific violence of North Dakota's militarized police being inflicted on unarmed activists, U.S. veterans are now heading by the thousands to Standing Rock. They are planning on using their own bodies as human shields in a powerful gesture of solidarity. My guest is Ashley Jennifer Parker. She is a veteran of the U.S. Coast Guard, member of Veterans for Standing Rock. Welcome to the program, Parker.
Hi, Sonali. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. So first, tell us, how did this all come about? Was it that there was a group of veterans wanting to support Standing Rock for months, and then the decision was made to actually go there? Or was this is this a new formation?
Yes. Well, basically, I think if anyone has actually seen the press coming out of Standing Rock in the last several months, you've seen the brutality and the way that the militarized police have been treating the Native American tribes who are on the ground there, and they're standing as water protectors. This is not just a protest. This is actually them trying to save what is definitely going to happen. The Dakota Access Pipeline is owned by a company that ends up having a lot of incidences of leaks, of explosions, of issues, and they're building this underneath the Missouri River. And the Missouri River feeds down to 18 million American citizens for their fresh drinking water. So they're trying to protect not only their source of water, but everyone else's source of water in Middle America. So it's actually a very significant standing against this pipeline being built. It's a very significant protest. But they are calling themselves water protectors because that is the main aim. And veterans who have seen this, we as a whole have come together as a volunteer organization. So it started out with Wesley Clark Jr. and with Michael A. Wood Jr. And those two people are friends, and they are activists in their own ways and their own lives. And they decided to start a small GoFundMe page in order to have some veterans of their friends and things of that nature come together and be able to fund going up to Standing Rock and to stand in solidarity. And then in about a week and a half ago, it became sort of a big press deal, and everyone got involved. And we now have, I think, close to $800,000 on our GoFundMe page. So our entire force has been signed up through online access and enlisted themselves, saying, I'm a veteran and I want to help. What can I do? So we're all volunteers, and we're all trying to go out there and make something happen. But the main thing to remember here is that we're actually going for the tribe. We're not going with an agenda for ourselves. The human shield narrative is fantastic in some ways, but I don't think that anyone's planning on being a human shield per se. We would love it if the tribe wants us to stand at the front line. We are obviously all former military. We have a background, and we are happy to take a moment to be that break for them. We want to stand in front of those militarized police and have them reconsider their positions and see what they're doing in order to do that. So that is what we're doing.
I understand something like the reports that I've seen is that about 2,000 people, 2,000 vets are heading there. What are the numbers?
Well, yes. So we've spoken with the tribes, and we are on the ground with the tribes, and the tribes are leading. We are doing what the tribes say. Again, like I said, this is all about them. It is for them. We are offering ourselves in service to them and as support to them. We are not trying to run anything. And from whatever was happening a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, with the plan, there was a number thrown out of about 2,000 that would be like a cap limit for people to be able to have safe lodging and sleeping space and be able to cook enough food for everyone. So at some point, there was a number thrown out of 2,000, and that was where our roster was capped, and we have filled our roster at 2,000 people have signed up. And we have a lot of people coming from different areas as well individually. So we're expecting to have probably 2,000, maybe more people show up. We also have a supporting roster for future endeavors. We are hoping to keep people there constantly, not just after this one weekend of this one movement. So actually Wes and Michael, who are our two main leaders, they are planning on staying indefinitely until this is, the solution is found. We're hoping to at least keep it until January 1st, which is when the pipeline contract is supposed to expire. So once that expires, supposedly the contract should be void because they haven't run any oil through there within 2 years. So I'm not sure of what the situation is for the future, but right now we're focused on our mission, which is to get up there on December 4th, offer ourselves to the tribe and see if we could be of assistance.
Now, the winter has set in a serious way in North Dakota. The images that we're seeing coming out of there, you know, whereas just a few weeks ago we saw plains, grassy plains, now it's a blanket of snow. This is probably going to be the most challenging time of year for people to camp out there.
Well, absolutely. Now, it's 100% true that it is absolutely extreme winter weather conditions. That's part of the reason that people got very upset about 2 weeks ago, is that there were cannons of water being shot into the water protectors to try to make them disperse. And it was 28 degrees Fahrenheit outside, and they are not in a city. They're out in the middle of a field protecting, and they are not close by to any major hospital or anything like that. So this is something that was a very dangerous situation, and loss of life was imminent. You can't, you know, douse people with cold water in 28 degree Fahrenheit weather and expect them not to have hypothermia and other issues. So this is why I think it really riled up a lot of people recently. The brutality has been consistent, but especially when you're doing that to people, it's become a very serious situation. So we are telling everyone to be self-sufficient. You must come with extreme weather gear. We have some gear as well that we're providing, which would be more body armor type things and tear gas, you know, masks and things of that nature. But the idea is that we need to be as prepared as possible. So that's part of the situation as far as the logistics is concerned. The tribe has obviously lived on this land for thousands of years, and people do survive in winter conditions. So this idea that the Army Corps and the governor have of needing to clear out this area in order to save lives is absolutely absurd. Everyone is hunkered down pretty well there, as far as I know from the camps. Supplies are getting in. There are issues with that as well. They're trying to block some supplies from getting in. But things are getting in.
Right. So, and let's actually bring that up. As far as you know, first the threat was made to block supplies, and then apparently it was rescinded. Now apparently it's actually happening, but informally. What do you know?
Well, I know a lot of conflicting reports, and it's an unfortunate situation in a movement that's like this, that there are going to be conflicting reports. But it looks to me as though there is definitely a group of people who don't want this to go through. And everyone has a different reason for going. You know, I can talk about my personal reasons for going, and I can talk about the movement as a whole and our reasons for going. And everyone who lives up there has a different, you know, opinion of the situation and all of that. And I personally haven't even been to Standing Rock. So I don't know what's actually going on the ground, except for the reports I'm getting. And so far from my friends, my people who have been up there before, and from this movement, it looks like there are people on the ground there who are doing everything they can to stop supplies getting through, to be aggressive and violent, and to not be very helpful in the situation. So we're hoping for the best, and we're having everyone bring as many supplies as possible. But we are aware that there is a very good possibility that police and militarized, you know, the security there doesn't want anything to come through.
And Parker, I should mention for our audience, you are the head of press, media, and PR for Veterans for Standing Rock, and have made the group has made a conscious decision to have you be in Los Angeles rather than go to North Dakota, because we know how hard it is to get reports from the ground there, because the Wi-Fi, I understand, has been cut off. It's just hard to get internet connectivity there, right?
Yes, exactly. So we're actually taking with us some satellite situations to get Wi-Fi and comms, but we're worried that also may not reach as well and might be cut off in some way. So we're doing all that we can to make sure that that's, you know, possible. But press and media, they need to know about this, and that's been part of the problem thus far. So most of the press and media has come out of individual people on Facebook Live and situations like that. So we are trying our best now, and I'm hoping to work, especially with the tribe, about getting their messages out. I have some people on the ground there that are working with the tribe. And like I said, this whole idea is to try to help them get the message out. And we're hoping that people will, and they will stop for a moment, whereas they may have missed the story before, and they'll think they'll think a little bit harder about the situation and what's going on.
Now, Parker, I understand, of course, that this is this might be an obvious point, but it's worth saying. The veterans that are, about 2,000 veterans that are heading there, are obviously going there entirely unarmed. These are people, many of whom have been trained in the use of weaponry, but are going there completely unarmed, which is, of course, very powerful.
Anyone from our movement is absolutely of that mindset. The water protectors who have been there for months, they have been unarmed the entire time, and they are being treated with such brutality that it's unconstitutional. And we are going because we took an oath And we enlisted with an oath that says that we swear to protect the Constitution and uphold it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when I sit here and I look at those militarized police treating those human beings as they've done, I think that's a breach and that is a domestic enemy. And so we are all going in order to support them if we can. And yes, it is a peaceful movement. We are not trying to do any sort of militia action. There is, I've heard a lot of conflicting reports about violence that we're trying to do. That is absolutely not true. My hope and my belief of what we really want to do is stand at the front line if the tribal elders will allow us to, and watch and see if the militarized police treat us the same way that they've been treating the tribe for the last several months.
Right.
And if they can do that, and if they can look at us as veterans of their country in our faces and spray us with tear gas and, you know, do all this other sort of stuff that they've been doing already. They've stuffed dogs on these people. Dogs have bitten people's arms. They've thrown concussion grenades into the crowd. And they had a girl who was injured with that. Her arm was hurt very drastically. There are photos on Facebook. There have been a lot of issues with spraying pepper spray right into the faces of these elderly people, elderly tribal elders. I mean, women are up there, and it's just, it's mind-blowing to me that the media hasn't taken more of an interest in it already. But if it needs to happen for the veterans to come up to shine a light on this, then by all means, we're there.
I understand that U.S. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, also a veteran, is one of the people
yes.
heading there.
Yes, she is absolutely heading there with us, and we're happy to have her. So we have a lot of people who are celeb-oriented, have a background in things. We have another couple people within the government who are trying to get up there. And we're glad to have all those people's help. So that is the general idea.
Parker, what is your personal reason that this struck such a chord in you? Can you give us that angle?
Sure. I mean, I've been personally very politically active, especially with the last election. And one of the things that I've noticed is that when it comes to the election that we've just had, where a lot of people have been very divisive, the country cannot find any common ground on a lot of things right now. And I've noticed that they can come about this, this idea that the brutality that is happening to these Native Americans is unconstitutional and is a problem, and the fact that veterans, they support veterans and they want to get behind that. So my personal reason for getting involved was that I just really wanted to go, and I signed up on the roster online. I ended up getting offered to be a regional team leader in Los Angeles to get people out there. So I was motivated to get a bus to go and get people organized. And then I was speaking to people who were in the head of the movement. I was on a conference call talking about the logistics, and I offered some advice about some media stuff. And my background came to light that I had some experience in PR and media and journalism. So all of a sudden, here I am, and I've been offered to be the head of press and media. So it's all happened within the last week. We're all in a volunteer force. But I think anyone who looks at the video footage that's coming out of Standing Rock, of the way these people are being treated, it's something that looks like a war zone from overseas, and this is on our own soil, and this is to our Native Americans. And it, to me, it's just mind-blowing that no one has done anything bigger. You know, there's been a lot of people involved, but the media as a whole and the mainstream media hasn't covered this. And now we're getting a lot of reports. I have a lot of people calling in and wanting to do big reports. I've got overseas, international people trying to do reports on this as well. So I think this will be hopefully a starting point for a change in the way we talk about police brutality, and also the way that we talk about, you know, environmental issues. So hopefully this will, if we can stop the Dakota Access Pipeline, then maybe it will be the moment that we can talk about alternative energy sources
right.
as well in this country.
And Parker, I can imagine that there are probably veterans heading there who served in Iraq, who ended up inadvertently protecting U.S. oil interests to now find themselves working against oil interests. And I don't know if that's an irony that has been raised, but...
It was raised actually last night. I was with Michael Wood, and we were on the Young Turks, and he was talking about how that is a situation, you know, and it is something that is an ironic situation. But I think that everyone knows that oil is a problem, and the pollution that we have going on, and oil spills are a big deal. And I think if we have the option to do an alternative energy source that is clean energy, let's do that. What is the stopping point for that, except for the capitalism of certain people who want the oil to still continue? I overheard some interview where a guy said that he feels that the pipeline was actually being built and not to fund us with oil in America, because we're obviously, America's trying to change into much more of a clean energy space, but to then fund down to the poor countries, you know, within the North American side and even maybe in South America to get oil through to them in a quicker way. And it's something that if we're pushing everyone down constantly, this is a huge problem for society. So I need to take, you know, the high road and become the leader for how we can do clean energy. And that's something that's a totally separate movement from what we're trying to do here. But that's the general main idea, is like, if we can help with this one small issue, with this, you know, very brutal force that's being used against our Native Americans who are saying what we're saying about that as far as clean energy is concerned, then maybe it can be the starting point for a bigger movement.
It seems as though President Obama doesn't really need any more reasons to step in and stop this project, but he seems to be dragging his feet on the review that the Army Corps of Engineers is doing. If this decision passes, if this decision passes to Trump, when Trump takes on the presidency, this is a man who has actually personal financial interests in the Dakota Access Pipeline, as we've reported. On our show. What is it going to take to make Obama do the right thing in his last few weeks in office when he really has nothing left to lose?
I honestly can't even answer that. I am surprised by the lack of help that he's given and or not given. I would suggest that everyone take a moment and make a phone call to your representatives, make a phone call to the White House, say stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. I mean, if Trump gets into office, he has, you know, actual conflicting business interests with many different things. And I think this is something that he's obviously going to want to push through if he can. And that's happening in about a month. Like, we really need to get on this right now while we have people in office who can make a difference. So, you know, tweeting on social media and writing on Facebook and all of that sort of stuff is great. Doing interviews and being around is fantastic. Talking to your friends and your colleagues as you're walking, you know, through your life is a great way to start. But at the end of the day, the people who are making the motions are the actual representatives, and they are not going to listen unless you actually pick up a phone and call them.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find out more about Veterans for Standing Rock?
Our Twitter is at VeteranStand. So that's probably the best way to find anything out right now. I'm handling all of that as far as news and updates, and we're going to be sending out press releases, and I'm linking all of the articles that are being written by media that I've been involved with as well. So Veteran Stand is the best way to find anything out right now.
We'll post a link to that.
And then you can find the
Go ahead.
Perfect. And you can also find the GoFundMe page as well, so you can donate to the GoFundMe page there.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you so very much for having me. I appreciate it.
My guest is Ashley Jennifer Parker. She's a veteran of the U.S. Coast Guard, member of Veterans for Standing Rock. She's actually heading their PR and media division. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.